Hey everyone, it's MBM.
I am Michael Lindebaum, and joining me as always is my brothers in arm, Mansa Herndon and Ben Taylor. Gentlemen, how are you doing this fine evening?
Pretty good.
I'm alive.
Yeah. I'm glad the weekend is over. I never thought I would say that about a weekend, but I'm very happy it's over.
It's Tuesday already, and I want the week to be over.
Yeah. Like, I can't wait till this weekend. But, yeah.
And how about you, Ben?
Huh?
How are you doing? Besides
like
alive.
I'm alive. We're living in a day and age where we're getting ready to go into Virginia Comic Con this weekend, and someone felt the need yesterday on Facebook to back up their want to not go to Virginia Comic Con by describing me as a person who, the first time they met me, was luring young cosplayers into a corner to take pictures with them.
I read this.
That was spanking people with a paddle. And I was just sitting there going,
what?
Not only was I going, I'm a happily married man, I was going, if you think I've got time to do that on a show day, you have no idea what goes into running a convention.
I didn't see any of that.
Yeah, I read that okay. Last night while watching Raw, but
yeah, that's something we'll have to talk about after this.
Yeah, this is the MCW special, not right. The VA Comic Con special. but speaking of,
but my point is I'm kind of over fucking drama and shit for the next like 24 hours or so.
Yeah.
I
spent last night watching Bob Ross and drinking alcohol.
That's how you calm down. That's the best way.
But speaking of that, this is one special that we're doing. We're obviously doing another special this weekend live from VA Comic Con.
Yep.
This past weekend was MCW, which they had not one, but two shows. The first show is November 13th in Waldorf, Maryland. And we're just going to do a quick run through because neither of us were actually at this show, but we do have the results for you. First up, you had G-Fed and the Hellcats, Sexy Steve and Jimmy Stars defeating Ken Dixon and the Dixon Line, Rob Locke and Joe Keys. Then you had Nature Boy Ric Flair making an appearance and speaking to the crowd. He praised the MCW fans and touted that it is always an honor to work for such a professional wrestling company like MCW. Flair then thanked the fans for the support and for coming out to the show.
Nice.
Then you had seven more matches. You had Oakley Woods with Colonel Callahan defeating Rayo, Tessa Blanchard defeating Renee Michelle, Brandon Scott defeating Money Green to retain the MCW Rage TV Championship, The Bruiser defeating Paul Jourdain, Kimberly with the Dixon Lion defeating Mickey James for the MCW Women's Championship after Amber Rodriguez interfered.
Oh.
Now, there's going to be a little bit more, but we'll save that for later.
Okay.
Leo Rush defeating Eric Chappell with Kevin Eck in a Falls Count Anywhere No Disqualification match. And King Ryan McBride defeating Sanjay Dutt to retain the MCW Heavyweight Championship.
Ha, take that, GFW.
Now, of course, also this past Friday, they just announced the launch of Rage TV On Demand. You can go to MCWRageTV.com, sign up today with the introductory price of $4.99 a month, plus you also have the options of renting digitally and also buying digitally through the site.
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at it. I got to you know, got a quick glimpse
you
of
it. You want to do that again? This sounds less like you're doing the pitch and trying to be Michael Cole.
I was just trying to move on to the show that I was at for us.
No, but the whole, like, Rage TV thing just sounded like you were reading off some sponsor. Like, literally like you were stood there with your flashcards going, WWE Network, it's just like Netflix.
Kind of like JBL last night on Raw going over the pay-per-view prices.
Yep.
Survivor Series, it's only $54.99 on pay-per-view, but you can get it for $9.99 on the network.
Thank you, Mike. That was the joke.
I know. But then, of course, we also have November 14th, which was from the MCW Arena in Joppa, Maryland. We started off with a dark match between Ken Dixon defeating Rayo. And right now, we're actually going to kick it over because I do have an interview with Rayo. And I am here now with Rayo, who had the opening match, I believe, with Bruiser.
It was a dark match against Ken Dixon.
Oh, Ken Dixon, yes. Dark match, yes.
Yes.
And how long, I mean, they announced you as from Peru.
Yes.
I'm very curious. Ben and Mance are also very curious. What is the wrestling scene like down in Peru?
Well, like, when I was in Peru, I never really watched wrestling. I was, like, I would play the video games, but I was never really into it until I came here when I was 10 years old. And I watched my first match, which was Edge versus John Cena. And ever since then, I started watching and eventually became a fan and decided to be a pro wrestler, you know?
And I noticed when you came out, you kind of had a soccer gimmick going too, or as it's called everywhere else in the world, football.
Football.
Football. Big fan, by the way, big fan. Go Germany. Is that the type of gimmick that you're going to be going with, the soccer-style gimmick? Because I noticed that you have a lot of kicks in your arsenal. Yes. So,
well, for MCW, I'm usually doing the soccer gimmick. But I also wrestle at CZW Dojo Wars. And over there, I do this other gimmick called the Bat Boy, too. Like, I manage Joey Janela, the CZW Wire champion. And what I do over there is basically I come out, and I am like, my name is the Bad Boy 2. Dos. And I like sex.
that is so great. But what in your Peru heritage have you really been using, besides the football, what have you been using from your Peru heritage for you personally in the ring for your style of wrestling?
For my style of wrestling? I mean, to be honest, the only thing that I use from Peru when I come out is the jersey. The jersey is exactly from Peru. I got it from Peru. And
But like your in-ring style, is there anything from Peru that you've kind of taken, like something that you would have in your background? Or?
That's a hard question. I never really thought about that, but...
I'm asking tough questions.
Yeah, definitely a shoe get something like that.
Well, you can go with the kicks. I mean, the soccer gimmick. I mean, you have all those kicks that you use. So, I mean, that technically is from Peru.
Yeah.
But what can you tell the people? What can they expect from you in the future? What do you want them to know that they can expect from you?
What I want them to expect from me is that, like, that every single time I'm in that ring, I want to put the best match on the show. I want to steal the show, and I want to bring all the people to this new level. I want to show them a different kind of wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's what I want.
And then, with that, Rayo, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And enjoy the rest of your night, and good luck with the future, man.
What's your name again?
Michael.
Michael.
And that's how we're going to end this interview. And we are back. So that was Rayo. He's from Peru. He actually mentioned in the interview that he came over from Peru when he was 10 and that there wasn't really much of a wrestling scene, you can say, down in
How
Peru.
How old is he now?
He's probably about 23, 24. young guy. We actually had maybe a couple miscommunications because of a language barrier between the two of us. Mm-hmm. But like his big thing, the thing that got him into wrestling was actually the video games.
Ah, nice. So he was playing like the SmackDown
games? Yeah, he was playing like the SmackDown games, the Shut Your Mouth, Just Bring It, all those, yeah.
Then the last few years of his life have been incredibly disappointing.
I know, right?
Now,
but at least it got him into wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't this your second time seeing him, right?
Yeah, this was my second time seeing Rayo.
And how is he in the ring?
He's pretty good. I mean, the first time I saw him, he didn't have much of a gimmick to him. But mm-hmm. this time he had a little bit more gimmick to him, where he came out wearing a Peru soccer jersey, and he had a soccer ball. So he was bringing out some of the, I guess one of the national pastimes of Peru being the, love of soccer.
Yeah, football, yeah.
Yes.
So his gimmick is, I watch sports.
Well, his gimmick is, I am from Peru, and this is what we do. Soccer.
Yep. But and actually one of the things I was trying to ask him, and I wanted to clarify this on the podcast, is Peru has a very rich heritage, a very rich history, not just soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to ask him about that, seeing what from Peru, the history, the heritage, he was going to try to bring into wrestling. That was one of the questions I was really trying to get, I guess because, again, the language type of barrier, he didn't get what I was trying to ask.
Ask him. Yeah.
So just wanted to clarify that one. Moving on to the first match of the card officially, because that was Ken Dixon versus Rayu, was a dark match. You had the Bruiser defeating Phoenix Fury. Now, of course,
you have dark matches on non-televised content?
Yes, because they filmed this for Rage TV.
Yes, but when you look at something like, let's say SummerSlam 92, perfect example, because mm-hmm. I was there, right? The broadcast on TV started with like, I want to say the six-man tag match. But all of the matches before that were on the video. So while they're dark matches, they're still
matches,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the way that Rage TV is doing it, you will never see the dark matches?
I don't know. We'd have to watch to see.
Right, okay.
Anyways, we had Bruiser defeating Phoenix Fury.
Mm-hmm.
Which, Mansa, you had mentioned that you actually had an opportunity to chat with Phoenix Fury before mm-hmm. at Baltimore Comic Con.
Yeah, really quickly. Like I said, I didn't even – it was a surprise because I did know that he was going to be at the MCW table later. But ran into him in the parking garage with myself and my friend Otto. We were just in an elevator and got a chance to chat with him. Didn't recognize him at first because I didn't know the MCW people until like a day later. But yeah, we were just chatting it up, talking about his mask and conversation lasted every bit of 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But he's a really cool dude. And he was with someone else, another wrestler, and I didn't catch who that was. But yeah, it was really cool guy.
Now, of course, the Bruiser recently lost the championship to King Ryan McBride.
Mm-hmm.
So for this match, it was more building the Bruiser back up to get because, eventually down the road, he's going to get his rematch for the title.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I'm going to say right now is that it literally felt like it was a Rey Mysterio versus Big Show type match or Rey Mysterio versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, it kind of sounded like that.
It showed like that.
Yeah. Because, he's a really small guy. So I don't know about Bruce, but I didn't know about him. He's short.
Bruce is a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
Then, of course, up next you had the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard, J.J. Dillon, and Baby Doll coming out to the ring to talk about their memories of wrestling in Baltimore.
Nice.
Flair also praised MCW and the fans like he did the night before in Waldorf as well. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this. Anything and everything that was said on the microphone, I couldn't hear it.
Oh.
I literally had to go on MCW's website.
Why?
to figure out what he actually said.
No. But why couldn't you hear it? Could you not hear it because crowd noise? Could you not hear it because of bad microphone?
I think it was acoustics and crowd at the same time, because the MCW arena is actually in like a store. You know, like one of those like warehouses and stuff like that, like the stores. It's in one of those.
That's interesting.
And like literally, if you stood on the top rope, like I watched this when they're doing their practice before they let the fans in. You know, Kent Dixon standing on the top rope, his head is like 2 inches away from the ceiling.
Oh no!
So that was, I mean, and so when you had that, and then you had a lot of people cheering and yelling the entire time when Flair was talking and when Tully was talking and JJ were talking, it was kind of hard. I think the only person I could actually hear was Baby Doll. Like, the next match that I'm about to go into, Kai Katana defeating Haas Haggard with Colonel Callahan. Callahan, before the match, stated that Oakley Woods was injured and unable to compete, so Kai had to face Oakley's cousin Haas instead. I couldn't hear any of that. I only caught the little glimpse, which you'll hear later in my interview with Kai Katana, that I only caught that Kai Katana apparently was with Colonel Callahan.
Okay.
Because that one was also crowd, you know, doing the heel heat on Callahan. And then, like I just said, Kai Katana defeated Haas Haggard. After the match, Oakley Woods did come out and attack Kai Katana. This was actually, from my perspective, this was a good match.
Okay.
It was Kai Katana controlled a good portion of the match, and then at the right, I would say for storytelling purposes, at the right time, Callahan was able to make the distraction. Haas Haggard was able to, take over, dominate the rest of the match, get the heel heat, and then Kai Katana was able to pick up the victory. So overall, it was a good match. They were able to tell a story. If I was able to hear Callahan better, it would have enhanced it for me. But
because you would have followed the storyline a little better.
Yeah, exactly. Then up next, you had the Hellcats defeating the Punk Rock All-Stars in the Dixon Line in a triple threat tag team match. I just have to say, I like watching these three tag teams, but I've been to two MCW shows, and all three tag teams have been in multiple team tag team matches. I have not seen a straight up tag team versus tag team match.
Tag team match, yeah.
Yeah, and that is something I would really like to see, especially with the Punk Rock All-Stars and the Hellcats, and obviously the Dixon Line too, because Rob Locke and Joe Keys are hilarious.
Yeah, you said that the last time too.
Okay, so
I'm gonna really be looking for
I think it's Joe. He has like longish hair. But like not long hair where you can ponytail it like mine or Ben's.
Okay.
Well, the Punk Rock All-Stars, they have their hair all spiked up and stuff. So he takes a hair tie and he just takes a front piece of hair and just puts a hair tie in it. To have that one little piece of hair sticking up. And then they're always going, and of course you guys can't see because we're on Skype, but I'll do this, you know, on Sunday at MBM Live, because we'll obviously talk about this at VA. But like, they're like looking at the crowd, like with dumb looking, smiling faces on there, and they're clapping their hands like, yeah, cheer for us. Yeah. It's their overall performance. Just them alone as like a comedy act is perfect.
Good.
And then the finish was actually each tag team. It almost seemed like they hit two different finishers, like two different type of finishers per tag team. Because you went, boom, here's this tag, this finisher on this guy, then this finisher on this guy, you know, like alternating between the teams. That way it seemed like every member of the three teams got hit with a finisher.
Okay.
And just the way the sequence and how they set it all up was like perfect. It was a very nicely done sequence to have that finish that they had. Now, remember,
question for you.
Yes, sir.
You said you've been to 2 shows in 2 months.
Yep.
And complained about the fact it was a multi-person tag team match, or multi-tag team matches, right?
Yes. For the fact that I want to see one team face another one.
Hang on. How do you expect MCW to tell a story over the course of multiple matches without the multiple matches all including the same teams? Because they don't have the luxury of a weekly TV show. They don't have the luxury of network deals, and they don't have the luxury of the sponsorships on major cable networks.
No.
So you're saying that after 2 shows, you'd rather see something else. Like, after 1 show, you'd rather have seen something different rather than them continuing to tell the story that they started telling in this area a month ago.
Well, the first time, and I wouldn't say that I'm completely all
no,
that.
No, you literally said you would rather. The words that came out of your mouth were, I would rather see.
Would I rather see? Yes. But last month when I was in Frederick, that was a fatal 4-way tag team match.
Okay.
For the number one contendership to the tag team titles. That was a number one contenders match.
Okay.
This one, they didn't have any contendership or anything. The Hellcats are still the number one contenders. But the thing is that, was it a great match? Hell yeah, it was a great match. But what I would like to see, you know, especially for someone new coming into MCW, I would like to see, you know, like a good 15, 20 minute match between the Hellcats and the Punk Rock All-Stars. Just because I want to see what this one team can do when there's not one other team involved, you know, in a triple threat, or 2 other teams involved in a fatal four-way, because I want to see those guys.
That doesn't answer my question. The question is, how do you expect MCW to develop ongoing storylines without all of the characters involved in those storylines being involved? Because, yeah, sure, just because the last one had a fatal four-way number one contendership stipulation doesn't mean they're not continuing the story or the rivalry in some way.
And I see your point, and I don't know.
Especially after the last time we recorded, and I said, I don't think the best of 5 format works very well because new people coming in won't have a clue. And the two of you were like, nah, it's fine. So it's fine for a best of 5 format, but it's not okay for a tag team? Make up your mind.
With that,
wrecked, nerd.
With that, I'm going to move on. Now, as you remember, for the November 13th show,
I would like to point out to everybody in the audience, I literally just left Michael speechless. The last person to do that was the person that photoshopped Eve Marie on his porno pictures. So go on, Mike.
Now, as I was going on, as I said earlier, November 13th show, Tessa Blanchard defeated Renee Michelle. They had a rematch on November 14th in Joppa.
Let me guess, it was the complete opposite result.
Right.
What a surprise.
Renee Michelle did defeat Tessa Blanchard. And honestly, and I'm putting this out there now, and I even talked to you know, the owner Dennis, or the co-owner Dennis, that was match of the night.
Nice.
Because the story that those two told in the ring was really good. It had a good back and forth. They methodically took it, and keep this in mind, these two have been wrestling each other for almost, like, I would say almost 2 years, maybe three. So they know each other so well in the ring that it's like, I was literally thinking to myself while watching this match, why isn't this match on NXT or on WWE main roster? Because it's that damn good.
Yeah, but that's like asking, that's like asking why isn't AJ Styles in NXT?
Yeah.
It's just not. Deal with it.
Yeah, it's just not. There's plenty of talent that's just not on NXT just yet. And I wanted to hear about how the Tessa Blanchard match was, because I wanted to know how good she was in the ring. And apparently,
Tessa is underrated, man. She really is. You could tell she's Tully's girl.
Yeah.
Because the way she works in the ring is a lot like the way Tully worked in the ring. And she actually, even though she never hit it, after Renee Michelle won the match, she teased hitting a brainbuster on Renee. But then didn't.
Nice.
And actually, I was able to interview Renee Michelle after the show. Because an interesting thing, Renee actually just recently came back from Japan wrestling for Marvelous.
Ooh.
So she actually spent, I believe, 3 to 4 months over there.
How was that?
So they haven't been wrestling each other for the last 2 years.
Well, she...
On and off.
Well, yeah, it's been on and off.
Oh, well, that doesn't make damn like a difference.
But
his point was they know each other well. That was the whole point of that.
And welcome back, everyone. I am with Miss Renee Michelle, who went up against Tessa Blanchard in probably what is the match of the night, in my personal opinion. So, Renee, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, like I just said, you had a match with Tessa Blanchard. For me, that was the match of the night.
Mm.
What was it like being in the ring with Tessa? Because I know by following you on Facebook, you've had many other battles with Tessa before.
Being in a match with Tessa is obviously always going to be exciting. We always have a great chemistry with one another, and, you know, of course, you know, the third generation, you know, I'm expecting the best, and every time she impressed me, each and every time she delivers.
Now, speaking of expecting the best, you actually recently have just come back from Japan wrestling for Marvelous, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes.
And what have you learned over there that has helped you become a better wrestler?
There's so many things. Obviously, my work speaks for itself as of tonight. But I still have a lot more tricks up my sleeve. I can't show everything just yet.
No, you can't. But what were some of the best moments you had over in Japan?
Being able to work alongside and also being trained by the legendary Chigusa Nagayo, who is the founder of Gaia and Marvelous, and also longtime tag team partner and rival of Lioness Asuka. They were also known as the Crush Girls back in the day.
And what can everyone expect from you in the future? Like, tell them what they can look forward to.
Obviously, you know, this is not the end. What they see tonight is only a little bit, but I can't tell all my secrets.
Very well. Thank you, Renee, for coming on.
And thank you for having me.
And we are back and continue.
For those of you that missed it, Mike actually recorded an intro to that after me saying that nobody had an excuse, but for some reason, he decided to cut it out.
And going back to MCW for November 14th, we had Eddie Smoove defeating Bo Nakoda with Colonel Callahan. After the match, Oakley Woods came out to attack Smoove, but Kai Katana came out to make the save. This was pretty much Colonel Callahan not happy that Haas lost earlier in the night, calling out anyone. Yeah, he just was calling out anyone. Eddie Smoove answered the call and defeated Bo. And then Oakley came out. Kai made the save. And going into that, we actually have some backstory on this with my interview with Kai Katana, which we'll go to right now.
Sweet.
And everyone, I am here with Kai Katana. Kai Katana had a match earlier this evening against Haas Haggard, I believe.
Haas Haggard.
Haggard. And you won that match, so congratulations.
So I did. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the podcast, by the way.
No problem. And tell us, where are you from? How long you've been doing wrestling? Because you're hailed as from the land of the rising sun.
Yes.
So give us a little bit of background on you.
I got my professional wrestling training in 2012 under the Cuban crippler Ricky Reyes. That was in Deer Park, New York. Prior to pro wrestling, I wrestled amateurly since I was 7 years old. I wrestled in high school, did a couple years in college, did some jiu-jitsu on my free time, and pretty much everything I've done has been for wrestling. So, I debuted in 2012. I recently just came back from a Europe tour. I was in Europe for 6 weeks backpacking across all of the UK, Ireland, and Northern Europe.
Very nice. And did you do any wrestling when you're in Europe? Or
Yeah, I did. I wrestled in 6 weeks. I was on 5 shows, and every place I traveled to, I wrestled in their facility for the day.
Very nice. For your match tonight, what? Trying to brain fart the question here. You know how that works. Apparently, there was some heat between you and the Colonel. Could you explain that to those who are listening to you for the first time?
Yeah, when I was first initially brought into MCW, I was under the wing of Colonel Callahan. He brought me in. He scoped me out and brought me in. We ran into some unlucky events with matches of me losing. And without, I guess, talking about it, he kind of just ditched me. He put me on the road and said, see you later. Now... every match I've had, now he wants to get more involved with it. It's ironic because when we were together, he wanted to do with me. Now that he's against me, he wants every bit he could just to get in my face. And it proved tonight that I tried doing it again. I kicked his head off, and I was going to keep going. There's a lot of them, one of me, but I'm still up.
And it looks like you may have created an alliance with Eddie Smooth tonight because they're trying to gang up on him, and you came in to make the save as well.
Yes, I believe that Eddie's a good guy, and he doesn't deserve... that type of treatment. Neither does anyone else. So when Oakley came out, trying to get in for the match, I was like, this is not going to happen. It's not having it. I came out there, set the tone, and got everyone level.
All right. Now, for everyone listening to you for the first time, what do you want everyone to know about you to expect in the future?
Expect a lot from Kai Katana. I've been trailblazing, and I've been doing things, and I've been making moves. The wrestling world has yet to see Kai Katana. I'm making a name, and I'm here to stay.
All right, Kai Katana, thank you very much.
Mike, thank you so much, man.
No problem, man.
And we are now back with match number 6 of the MCW show in Dropa. We had the Ektourage, Eric Chappell and Dirty Money with Kevin Eck defeating Fed Up, comprising of C-Fed and G-Fed, to retain the MCW Tag Team Championships.
Love those names.
All they're missing is K-Fed.
Right.
Yeah, I've seen the Ektourage in action. I'd actually seen G-Fed wrestle at the Frederick show.
So how was this match together with them going at it?
This was a good match. For the most part, Ektourage was controlling the match.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they were able to get the hot tag for G-Fed to get in the ring. You know, and it changed all the momentum. But then there's a point where Kevin Eck comes in the ring, takes off his shoe, and hits G-Fed in the back. Now, the shoe that he hits him with is like a sneaker. So it's like a soft sole sneaker.
Wait a minute. He hits it with a sneaker.
And it does nothing.
Of course.
And it's just hilarious. And then it's like, and then of course, I believe Eric Chappell gets the pin. 1, 2, 3. And after the ref raises their hands, he sees the shoe in the ring. And he's like, wait, what? And then Kevin Eck just grabs the shoe. And he's like, no, it's nothing, man. It's nothing. And, you know, he attacked me. That my shoe funny. Fell off.
Hit me so hard, my shoe fell off. That's funny.
But it was
And I'm stuck with hit him with the sneaker.
Yeah. Good old Kevin Eck.
Yeah.
And actually, apparently, because the day before Friday the 13th was the 10-year anniversary of Eddie's passing, mm-hmm. that was supposed to be a play off of, like, a lie, cheat, and steal.
Yeah. I kind of grasped that one.
Yeah.
Still sneaker, man.
And then the seventh match on the card. Uh-huh. Now, remember when I said Amber Rodriguez costed Mickey James the title?
Right.
Well,
let me guess. They had a match and Mickey beat her. And there was some form of stipulation involved.
Mickey James defeated Amber Rodriguez in a Luther Leaves MCW match.
Whoa. Mickey James beat Amber Rodriguez.
Now, I'm going to throw this out there. When I first heard that was a Loser Leaves MCW match, I thought it was going to be the other way around.
Right. That's
because just... Mickey dropped the title the night before, you know, and maybe her contractual obligations to MCW would have been up. But then this finish happened where Mickey James won, and I was like, whoa. That was the complete reversal of what I was thinking going into this match.
Yeah.
And it was a good surprise, too. Now, I want to date back to the Frederick show.
Mm-hmm.
Because these two wrestled at each other at the Frederick show.
Right.
And remember when I mentioned that the finish was very sloppy?
Yeah.
You know, the roll-up, they just didn't do it right. This match, better finish. But there are parts where it showed where Amber was still a little green. Because there are moments where she had Mickey, like, on the top rope. And she had to redo it, like, three times.
Three times.
And it kind of killed that momentum going into that spot. And, I mean, I'm not saying that the reason they did Amber as the reason to leave, was to get more training outside and then bring her back. But if that's a reason, it's a good reason, because some timing was off. I could feel it killed some momentum for me in that match.
Yeah.
And then finally...
Do you not think that a loser leaves MCW match would be a little bit extreme for go get some more training?
Oh, as well, unless it's... it's a way of writing her out. I mean,
yeah, but you could write her out with an injury.
That's true.
You can write her out by just not booking her for a while.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know why the reason they wrote her out.
That's what
her.
I'm saying.
I'm making a speculation.
That's my point. My point is if they were just trying to get her off shows for extra training,
mm-hmm.
would they have it a loser leaves the company match? I'm wondering if there isn't something more to it.
Yeah, it could be.
But only time will tell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the final match, we had King Ryan McBride defeating Brandon Scott to retain the MCW Heavyweight Championship.
Right.
After the match, a huge brawl broke out that ended up seeing King McBride, Ken Dixon, and the Dixon line, who accompanied McBride to the ring for the match, and the Entourage standing in the ring over a fallen Bruiser, Brandon Scott, and the Hellcats.
Ooh. Big old feud.
Yes. Well, keep in mind, Bruiser is due for a rematch for the MCW title.
I remember.
The Hellcats are number one contenders to the tag team titles.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandon Scott's the reigning Rage champion. Which could lead to potential with Ken Dixon.
Yeah.
So, definitely an interest. And then, of course, there's another member of the Kings of Wrestling, which is Kimberly, who took the MCW Women's Championship from Mickey James the night before. So, that was a damn good match. I actually enjoyed seeing King Ryan McBride in a singles match, because last time I saw him, he was in that six-man tag that involved right. X-Pac. And he plays the heel heat very well. And another thing,
mm-hmm.
after his matches, he does, like he did it to Sanjay Dutt, he did it for the pile. After the beatdown, selfie.
That is going to be a thing.
And no, apparently he's been doing it for years.
Okay.
because I saw some little banter on Facebook because they posted up the selfie and he commented on it. Like, apparently he's been doing it before Tyler Breeze was, like at least two, three years before.
And what's the
point? Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, you know, that was a big comment. You know, people go, oh, well, Tyler Breeze does it. That's his thing. Well, there have been people who've probably been doing that longer on the indies. And Ryan McBride.
Yeah, and you know what? How many of them are on the WWE main roster?
Right, pretty much. I have to go on the opposite side on this one, yeah. And plus, Tyler Breeze did not.
And I'm not saying he should stop taking the selfies.
No.
I'm just saying that it is clear that one is going to get more exposure than the other.
Yeah.
One wrestles in a freaking warehouse that you can barely stand on the top rope. The other one is touring the country, Europe, Japan, China, Africa.
Plus, hey, it was a great idea. It saved Tyler's career. So,
yeah. Yeah. And, of course, once again, you can get this up on Rage TV On Demand for those who want to watch. Next up for MCW is December 4th up in Felton, Delaware for MCW Holiday Havoc. Wow, I'm starting to...
You want to try and do that?
Yeah.
Right, that was a difficult one.
Yeah. It's been a long 2 days. But yeah, December 4th in Felton, Delaware, MCW Holiday Havoc featuring Mick Foley and the Headbangers.
Huh. And a Hall of Famer and two...
And the Headbangers.
Other people.
Yeah, Hall of Famer and the Headbangers.
And then, on December 26th in Joppa, is MCW Seasons Beatings featuring Ashley Mazzaro, EC3 Ethan Carter, and China.
Yeah.
So, Ashley Mazzaro, I've met her before. I actually met her the week after and the day of SummerSlam 2005. EC3, obviously TNA wrestler, right. And China being China.
Like, I wouldn't mind meeting Ashley, and I would love to meet EC3 because it's just, he plays the heel so well. So I would love to just see him in person.
See, of the two, three of those, the only one I give a shit about is China.
Wow. Yeah, actually, to be honest, I'm kind of with Ben on this one because there's a lot. I mean, especially recently, now that they're making a not WWE, but independently, there's a documentary being made about her.
Uh huh.
You know, there's a lot of intrigue with her right now.
Not with me.
Well, not with you, but, you know, what was it? When Austin had Triple H on the podcast, on the network, one of the things that was asked was China, Hall of Fame. And, of course, Triple H is like, well, you know, if you type up China and you see the first things that come up on the internet really isn't wrestler anymore. You know, so there's definitely some intrigue, and she's still relevant.
Mm-hmm.
The main thing is Ashley Mazzaro, right, came into wrestling.
You're
she did her
church.
Thing. She took her top off for a Playboy, and then she fucked off.
Yep.
EC3 has yet to... Like, it'll be nice to see him and go, hey, you're doing well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's quote-unquote doing well in a company that isn't. And let's just say, if you're the big fish in a small pond, you ain't necessarily as great as you may seem, as some people are finding out recently with, like, NXT and WWE. So the only one of them that has been relevant for any long period of time is China. And right now she's relevant because of the future heir of the WWE talking smack about her on WWE TV. Of the three of those, which is going to be the most interesting person to meet?
China.
Yeah. Just saying.
But of course,
also, it's fucking China. Right? Like it or not, she's the first female Intercontinental Champion.
Oh, yeah. I don't get me wrong. I don't.
And the first female to participate in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Also, she beat Jeff Jarrett's ass, which is okay by me.
Yeah. Like, that China I don't have a problem with. It's China now. All the issues and all of the shit. That's, excuse my language, but yeah, I'm not, I don't care. Like, when China was wrestling, yes. The accomplishments she made, yes. When she goes into the Hall of Fame because she deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, yes.
Yes.
I don't care. But, no. On a show like this, I don't care. That's honest.
And, of course, for more information on Maryland Championship Wrestling, visit MarylandWrestling.com, or you can follow them on Twitter at MCW Wrestling.
All right, so since we've gone into it, right,
mm-hmm.
and I know that we probably have more MCW to talk, but this is something that's just come up.
No, actually, so, next thing on the list is wrap up, plug VA Comic-Con and NBA Live. All
right, well, we'll do that later. Yeah. And I'm literally, like, waving in the air like you guys can see me. So, is she Hall of Fame?
China?
Mm-hmm.
She better be.
Yeah, I say she definitely is for all the reasons that we listed. First woman in the Royal Rumble, first female Intercontinental Champion, which will probably never happen again, ever.
Ever.
Well, the way they're pushing Nia Jax.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that you're talking about with Jeff Jarrett.
And she can't even take a hip toss.
No.
you know, and look at the matches that she had with Jericho.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, yeah. Accomplished, she's very accomplished
and
deserving.
On. Like it or not, she is the person who is responsible for Latino Heat.
Yes, yeah. She is. Like, his whole persona was him hating on China and then getting it. Like, that, of course. So, yeah, she's definitely first ballot.
But yeah, I agree. She's definitely Hall of Fame. But should she go in? Yes. But the biggest problem is again, you know, all the things that she's done outside of WWE and wrestling as a whole,
yeah.
Because she's done the believe it's Vivid,
yeah,
the porns. She's had a history of issues. She was on Celebrity Rehab,
right.
With Dr. Drew.
And that's what I believe Triple H's point was.
If you look at what she... If you Google China now.
Yeah.
You Google Joanie Lore.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to find. You're not going to find the wrestling stuff.
But if you start... The thing is, the WWE has to now, if they do set up for putting her in the Hall of Fame, is to start showing the good stuff, to start bringing that back to relevance, because that's what's going to get her the looks, the sight, because people will reference all of this stuff we just talked about. People will look at it on the network. There's tons of it on the network. So if you bring that back up, you won't bury it, but you'll push it down a bit. And so she definitely would make the Hall of Fame. So, I mean...
It's just a matter of when... And, yeah. And you know, who else there is to also be put in when it comes to women wrestlers?
Yeah.
Because you got a pretty good list with, like, Ivory and Molly Holly, you know, just to name two of them that I would put in right away. And Victoria, that's three of them right there I put in right away.
Yeah, I mean, she's definitely part of that class. But, I mean, yeah, she's done so much. So, shoot, hell yeah. Hall of Fame, not even a question whatsoever.
It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, definitely a matter of when.
Yeah. I see, it just seems very... How do I put this? Seems very... I don't want to say hypocritical, but it's kind of the best word for it.
Yeah.
For people to be like, oh, Sean Waltman, Hall of Fame, but not China.
Oh, definitely that's hypocritical.
You know, like...
That's very hypocritical.
Because they're both equally accomplished when it comes to wrestling. And to say, well, he gets to go in because, well, Click and all the other stuff that he's done for the industry, but then say, well, she can't because she did this outside of wrestling. It's like,
well, I mean, he was in the video with her.
Right. He was right there with her.
Yeah. I think in both of them, or the older ones. We're referencing the newer stuff.
Well, no, I'm talking about in general.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
He's not exactly Captain Squeaky Clean.
Oh, hell no. No.
Right?
Right.
No.
So,
yeah, and it's very, because he has his drug issues, porn stuff, but he still deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, and he probably will very soon. But to even think that she shouldn't be at all is crazy.
Yeah. It the Hall of Fame is in a very strange place.
Yeah.
Especially since the thing that not a lot of people talk about is it's not the only Hall of Fame.
No, it's not.
You have the TNA Hall of Fame, which has like four people in it right now, two of which are a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like the PWI Hall of Fame, and there's the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. And I'm like,
right,
can we pick one?
Everybody wants their own Hall of Fame.
Well, I mean, it's like that for all sports if you look at it.
Yeah.
Well, no, there is the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There is the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And to each of those, there's other ones as well, because with hockey, I'm going to use this because I know it, there's the Hockey Hall of Fame, which is the Hall of Fame. But then you have the Kingston Hockey Hall of Fame. Then you have the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. There is the Hockey Hall of Fame the one? Yes, because that's where the cup is held, and that's where the major ceremony is. But throughout the world,
we don't have... Yeah. We're not talking about, we don't seem to have a the one, unless you call the WWE Hall of Fame the Hall of Fame.
There's honestly, the only two that the only two that I really recognize are the WWE and the PWI ones.
Yeah.
See, and that's the problem, right? Yeah. Is there shouldn't be two, like, you can say there is multiple hockey Hall of Fames, right? But there's one, let's be honest, there's one hockey league.
Right.
And it's the NHL, right?
Yep.
Right? The problem with and another issue you run into is when you Google Baseball Hall of Fame, everything on that first page is a single Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not necessarily about whether the other ones exist. It's like, can we pick one to be the Hall of Fame, and then we can have all the other ones on the side, right? Which, let's be honest, is going to end up being the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
it's because they have the money.
Yeah, because if you do a Google search, I bet you, if you put in Wrestling Hall of Fame, I bet you WWE is the first thing that comes up. Because
National Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Damn.
Not WWE at all. Not WWE at all.
I would think that would be the first one because they had the money.
And then it's the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Really?
Then it's the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame Wikipedia entry. If this is just Wrestling Hall of Fame, just...
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Right? Just Wrestling Hall of Fame.
And then the fourth entry is WWE Hall of Fame.
Holy crap. So, National Wrestling Hall of Fame is the
number one Google entry.
Wow. And that, see, I didn't even know.
Now let's try searching pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Then there's the Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And then there's the Luthez Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. Yeah.
Didn't even know the Luthez Wrestling Hall of Fame.
Yeah. The PHWF Hall of Famers. class of 2015. Mr. Perfect, Rick Martel, Pedro Morales, the Fabulous Freebirds, Vivian Vachon, Jumbo Tsura, Big Jim Crockett, the Great Gamma, Joe Makowitz, and Whipper Billy Watson. Last year's class was Bruiser Brody, the Fargo Brothers, Leroy McGuirk, Alfred Hayes, Mr. Wrestling 2, Gary Hart, Sherry Martel, Stu Hart, Don Morocco, and Demolition Axe.
Hell yeah, Alfred Hayes. Wow. Now that just learned me something right there.
Yeah, it's been a... Yeah, I don't know.
But you get more hype and you get more, talked about with the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That's why I just knew it would be the top Google search.
But it's
not.
That's
really interesting. Okay.
And we have just had our educational moment of MPM Wrestling.
Yep.
And the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame, Hall of Famers goes all the way back to 2002. And the first class was Andre, Milford Burke, Gorgeous George, Frank Gotch, George Hackenschmidt, Ed Strangler Lewis, Jim Londos, Buddy Rogers, Bruno Sammartino, Sky Lolo, Ricky Steamboat, Joe Stecher, and Luthez.
Wow.
So WWE's only been around, their Hall of Fame's only been around 9 years longer than.
Yeah. Only 9 years longer.
Only 9 years
Yeah. Because WWE did theirs in 93.
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm looking at this list, right? And there are some omissions from the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame. At least in my opinion. Mm-hmm. No Shawn Michaels. Like, that's number one.
Well, do they have a wait period?
Or do they contact them? I mean,
Bret Hart was in the class of 2008. Ric Flair was in the class of 2006. Hulk Hogan was in the class of 2003. So, no.
No.
And no Shawn Michaels?
No Shawn Michaels.
Well, I mean, the only reason I asked that there was a waiting period was because a lot of them have it.
They only put Sherry Martel in last year.
Wow.
They only put Mr. Perfect in this year.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know.
Huh.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yep.
What's coming up for us?
For me, probably some alcohol.
Yeah, I'm gonna get some of that too. For us, we're going to be at the VA Comic Con this weekend.
Yep, down in Richmond, Virginia.
Yep.
And we will have
a live show on Sunday.
Yep.
At noon. We are at noon, correct?
Off the top of my head, yes.
Hold on. Oh, shoot.
I'm calling it up now, so don't worry. We are from noon till 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
And we have already discussed some topics that we want to talk about when we do.
Well, we haven't, but we're saying that we have because we're going to do it when we finish this recording.
Exactly.
And it makes more sense to say that we have.
Maybe because by the time this posted, we have already had the conversation.
Exactly.
Yes. It's a wibbly wobbly timey wimey thing.
Yeah.
So other than our show, what are you guys looking forward to this weekend?
I'm looking forward to the Back to the Future showings on Friday.
Yeah.
And hanging with everybody again. What you guys don't know is we have a group that we know through the circuit, and we get together at the VA Comic Con, and it's always good friends.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's always good seeing everybody.
Like, while I'm very much looking forward to that, I think getting to interview Bob Gale might might trump that a little bit.
That's awesome, man.
So,
yeah, for me, it's Walter Jones, because obviously I'm a huge Power Ranger fan. This will be my third time getting to meet Walter.
I'm actually not going to be able to watch that interview, sadly.
Oh, the one Walt that
Jones,
And I'm hosting that one, correct?
You're hosting Walt Jones, yeah. It's just you and Walt.
Better,
yeah.
Oh, we're so nerding. yeah, it's the third time meeting Walter and first time working with the guy.
Do remember, you are hosting a panel for the audience.
Yes.
And they shouldn't make it all about yourself.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, I mean, Mansur, I know you're on a couple of other panels. What other panels are you on?
I'm on the video game panel. I know that. Mm-hmm. As well as our show.
Which is right after we record.
Right.
In the other room. Yeah.
I didn't know if it was in another panel I was on.
I don't know if you're on any other panels, but I know that I'm on the Pop Culture Uncovered live panel.
Yeah.
Then I'm going straight into Bob Gale. Then I'm going straight into DM101. Then I'm going straight into Doctor Who.
Pretty much.
And people wonder why I want an hour off at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, I'm going to be sitting in on the cosplay etiquette panel. Then I'm doing the NBN Pro Wrestling panel with you guys. Then I'm doing the video gaming panel with Mansur.
Yep.
And then I'm done.
You're not doing the tabletop gaming panel?
That's on the same time as the video gaming panel.
Oh, I just noticed that. Yep.
Yep. I had to sacrifice one of the two, sadly.
And I guess I'm just doing Walter Jones panel and MBM.
Hanging out. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll also be recording interviews for my convention podcast, The Experience. So I will be around roaming and doing interviews and stuff like that.
And I work the show, so I'll definitely be all around the show working and roaming and dealing with lines and people and complaints. So
I do not miss that at all. Except for when I get told that I'm apparently a sexual harassment monster.
Yeah.
To the person who point, did that, no.
At which point, let's wrap up so I can tell you the whole story. Not
yes,
on.
Yes.
Yes. So with that, you could follow us on Twitter at MBM_wrestling. Ben Mansur, it's been a fun one.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
And until next time, we will
I will endeavor to leave you speechless some more next time we meet.
We'll see you in the ring.